A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. As we come before our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, to spend this time in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, to conclude our afternoon of reflection, we ask him to convict us in a special way, to renew our commitment to discipleship, to renew our commitment to our vocation as husband, as father, as men of God. In 1989, St. John Paul II said, quote, "The family has the mission to guard, reveal, and communicate love. And this is a living reflection of and a real sharing in God's love for humanity and the love of Christ the Lord for the church, his bride." End of quote. It seems to me that your mission, that our mission, is to reveal God's love, you know, to share God's love, to witness to God's love, to communicate God's love to others, particularly those who are closest to us within the context of the family. As men, your mission is to guard God's love, to protect your families, your wives, your children, to protect the love that binds your family together. Your mission is to reflect and share in the love of God. And dear brothers, there's no greater model for the mission of your lives than St. Joseph, the protector and guardian of our Lord himself, Jesus Christ. What can we learn from St. Joseph? He doesn't speak a word in the sacred scriptures. We can only learn from his example, you know, from his appearances, which are few, in the sacred scriptures. We can only learn from the caliber of his actions. Actions do speak louder than words, we're told. And as we sit and contemplate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is present to us in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist, I would like to offer 3 points about the life of St. Joseph. 3 points about the sacred mission of your lives in the context of the life of St. Joseph. The first point I'd like to make is the obedience of St. Joseph to the will of God. The second is the importance of his interior life, his life of prayer. And third is his strong, steadfast, unfailing love. So, the first is obedience. Let's look at the obedience of St. Joseph. Imagine learning, as Joseph did, as we just heard, that your beloved was mysteriously pregnant. The woman who you are betrothed to, but not yet married to. And imagine the sense of confusion, perhaps betrayal, you might think. Certainly disappointment. Imagine how you might respond to this news. You, dear brothers, are good men and just, like Saint Joseph. That's what the scriptures tell us. He was good and just. The Gospel of Matthew recalls that upon learning of Mary's pregnancy, as we just heard, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to send her away quietly. Joseph's solution to this disappointing news, this news that might be embarrassing for him and for Mary, was to send her away to have her baby quietly in another place. It wasn't courageous, but it wasn't unjust or cruel either. It resolved the problem. It was the pragmatic answer to this problem, as men are known for, pragmatic solutions. And it spared the Blessed Mother the questions that an unexpected pregnancy might have caused in the family and in the community, and in their, their culture. But the Lord called Saint Joseph to something more. Saint Matthew says that as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Well, the Lord called Saint Joseph to something more than a pragmatic solution to a difficult situation. He called him to a life-altering vocation. First, to take Mary as his wife, and then to bear the Messiah, to be the guardian and protector of the Son of God. Saint Joseph did not complain, he didn't question, he didn't argue, he didn't run and hide. He heard the call of the Lord, and he responded swiftly and without hesitation. It was the grace that Joseph received that allowed him to respond in that way. There's nothing the Lord will call us to more radical or more demanding than the vocation of Saint Joseph. We are baptized and we are confirmed, and we're prepared with grace to respond to whatever the Lord calls us to. John Paul again says this of Saint Joseph and his response. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. He took her in all the mystery of her motherhood. He took her together with the Son who had come into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this way, he showed a readiness of will, like Mary, with regard to what God asked him, like Mary, through an angel. So the question is, will we seek God's call and hear it and respond to it? Will we do God's will with this silent courage of Joseph? Second, the second point is the importance of prayer in the interior life of Saint Joseph. Saint Paul says that about Joseph, and quoting from this letter that John Paul wrote on Joseph. He dedicated an apostolic letter just to the life of Joseph. There's very little that John Paul didn't write about in his long 27-year pontificate. He said about Saint Joseph that Again, we don't have any words of Joseph in the Bible, but we know that, as John says, or as John Paul II says, quote, an aura of silence envelops everything about Joseph. Everything he did was in silence. Joseph is not silent because he has nothing to say. He's not a silent character. He is silent because everything St. Joseph does stems from the interior silence that allows him to hear the Lord. In other words, Joseph's actions are all a fruit of his relationship with the Lord and his sense of duty that he has from his relationship with the Lord, his spiritual life. The silence of St. Joseph is the consequence of a life of deep communion with the Lord in his own prayer life. Now, he was a working man. He was a man who was a common laborer. He worked with his hands. He wasn't an intellectual, as far as we know. He was wise, but he wasn't book smart. He was very practical. But he had this life of prayer, this life of this relationship with the Lord. Consider the fact that Joseph saw an angel in a dream. That seems like a profound intervention to me. I don't know about you, but I've never seen an angel in a dream. But I have heard the call of the Lord in other ways. And you likely also have heard the Lord as well, speaking to your heart in prayer or in the silence of reflection. For St. Joseph, and for any of us, hearing God's call requires that we be men of prayer. In other words, we can't hear if we don't listen, and we can't listen if we don't quiet ourselves down from time to time. The patterns of our lives, the patterns of the prayer in our lives, of the sacraments, of adoration, of reading sacred scripture, of praying the rosary, of speaking to the Lord in our own personal prayer, will attune us to hear his call, will open us up to hear the Lord's promptings, which aren't like an angel appearing to us, but they certainly are real, and they certainly guide us in the decisions that we make for ourselves, for our spouses, for our families. We need to cultivate that interior silence in our lives if we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to sometimes turn off the sources of the noise in our lives. We need to, you know, get away from the screens and all the other things that call for our attention, that distract us. And we need to cultivate that silence and solitude in our hearts and in our homes and in our families. In other words, we need to create places in our homes and in our families where the family can come and be together with one another without being distracted by all the other things that grab our attention. And that's not such an easy thing to do. We have to create places where we can go as a family to be alone with the Lord and with one another, free of the noise and distractions of the world. I was reading a book about a journalist who writes for The Atlantic, which is a periodical, and he, he depends upon his iPad and his computer to get his stories. He's constantly Googling, you know, for information, background on the stories he writes. But he said in his home he has Wi-Fi, but he has a part of his home which he is purposely blocked. You know, so you can't access your phone, you can't access your iPad. And that's where he goes with his family in the evening sometimes, and they sit around and they talk or they read or they, you know, be with each other. And nobody can be checking, you know, their email or whatever. And he said he needs that because his whole day is filled with this for his work, and he needs to have a place where he can be free of that to be with his family and free of the noise and distractions of the world. And we need to as well. We need to as well. And that's the silence and the solitude that allows us to converse with the Lord and with our families, and the opportunity to hear the Holy Spirit speaking within our families. But quieting ourselves also allows conversation with our wives and with our children and with our friends. The more we cultivate this sort of aura of silence, the more we can hear the Lord's will and hear the real needs of the people around us. You know, hear the needs of our children. You know, sometimes we have to read between the lines. If you know, our children or our spouse, is something's going on, you know, something's wrong, and we can't really hear that. They won't maybe say that to us, but we can sense it, you know, if we're listening, and we can, you know, tune into that. But if we're constantly being pulled away in all different directions because of all the other things, we can't, well, we'll miss it. The third, that's the prayer. The third thing is this particular love of St. Joseph, this sort of manly, strong, steadfast, silent, steady love of St. Joseph. The love that accompanied him and Mary soon after the birth of their child to make that trek to Egypt. I mean, we don't think about that. But from the time that, you know, the child was born, almost within days, they left Bethlehem and they took this incredible trip, you know, down, you know, down along the Gaza Strip, all the way down to the Red Sea, cross into Egypt. It's a long journey, and they spent a number of months there, you know, while that edict of Herod had been in search of this newborn child, and then returned, you know, some 6-8 months later. I mean, that must have been quite a journey, and it's Joseph who obviously led that journey, protected the child, protected Mary, and that was a motive, that was out of the love he had and the sense of duty he had to protect his wife and his newborn child. Father John Harden, who is a prolific spiritual writer and holy man, says that Joseph put his love to work. He did not merely tell Jesus and Mary that he loved them, although I'm sure he did. He acted out of love, and he modeled his love for them. He lived his love for them. And that is the secret of true love. As I said, action speaks louder than words. And we are as truly devoted to Christ and his mother as we do what we know they want us to do. In other words, as we live that and model that in our own lives. Do we do what Christ and his mother want us to do? That's the question. In our families, this means that we are leaders, that we embrace the headship to which we are called. It means that we are committed to being men of prayer, and to be allow ourselves to be seen as men of prayer by our children and by our neighbors and by our spouses. It means that we place a primacy on investing in our families with our time and with our love and with our patience. But it also means that our families face outwards, that we cultivate a spirit of generosity and a spirit of gratitude within our families, that they become, in a certain sense, apostolic and witnesses to others in God's love, witnesses to the permanent things in life, witnesses to our eternal destiny and the good of our neighbor. You know, that the members of our family are looking for opportunities, you know, to help others, you know, to help our neighbors or to help other family members who are in stress. The world is in a crisis of families. We go back to the beginning, what we said the very first thing this morning. And we are called, and that was what Curtis Martin was talking about in his talk during lunch, that this is the time God put us on earth. You know, this is the best time to be alive. That's the good news, he said, you know, that we are called to play a very important role in the renewal of our culture and the restoration of our civilization, and to build this civilization of love. We're called to greatness, as Curtis Martin says, and we're called to holiness. And Saint Joseph is our model. He's our intercessor, and he is the patron saint of so many things, but particularly, I think, of men, of work, of fathers, of husbands, of that masculine vocation of being disciples, men of God, disciples of the Lord. As we spend this time before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament now, and to conclude this retreat with the Lord and to conclude with benediction, let us now invoke the intercession of Saint Joseph with this prayer, which was given to us again by Father Hardin. Saint Joseph, foster father of Jesus and protector of the Virgin Mary, teach us the hardest lesson we have to learn in life, to love as you loved, by putting our affection to use and by acting on the sentiments we so often express in our prayers, to put our love into action. Teach us to understand what Mary meant when she said, "Be it done unto me according to your will," and what Jesus meant when he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Saint Joseph, foster father of Jesus, spouse of the Virgin Mary, patron saint of workers, pray for us.